Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Well, it's the Lake Tell Podcast. Patrick Johnson here. Ed Willis, you're back.
Yeah, Kamloops. I was at the Sun and Fun Capital of the Interior, Kamloops, for 10
Tournament
days.
Tournament capital so of Canada or something. Yeah,
you know what? It's lovely there. It's perfect. Maybe 10 days is a little too much lovely for one man to take. But for the Lions' needs, it's a great setup.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about the Lions. We're going to talk about the Canucks. There's a draft you may have heard of. We've
heard
been talking about,
that. About
this endlessly. Just for my own prep, should I watch the Kevin Costner movie Draft Day?
I think everybody should. It's one of my favorite guilty pleasure movies. Like it is so ludicrous because the whole plot revolves around
the Browns.
This idea that the Cleveland Kevin Costner is under pressure. Now, stop us if this sounds familiar, Canucks fans. Kevin Costner, the general manager of the Browns, is under pressure from the owner to make a big splash on Draft Day. So the whole plot line revolves around Kevin sending 3 first round draft picks for this quarterback he doesn't want to take, and in the space of a couple of hours getting those 3 draft picks back plus. So it's like every kind of like nerd fans wet dream come to life, that their general manager can pull off a deal like this on draft day, which of course is the lead into your Vancouver Canucks and this draft.
Do you think Jim Benning's going to be taken to the amusement park?
Make a big splash, yeah. Which is this great scene between Frank Langella, who plays the owner, and Costner. He takes him to, this is what I want you to do. He shows him, I think it's a plume or something. This ride is popular because it makes a big splash, and that's what I want out of you. I want you to make a big splash. It's that X factor with this ownership group. Yeah. You just never know. I go back and forth, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the status quo with the Canucks. Take the pick. It's supposed to be a really good draft. Yeah. You're going to get an impact player at 10, and 2 years down the line, it might look to be the really prudent thing. But if they start farting around, moving up, moving down, trying to force something that I don't think is necessarily going to help them in the long run, they could get themselves into trouble.
To me, and we've talked a bit about this, Kuzma and I have been on the last couple of weeks, and just sort of the quality of a player is there.
Like
you're not obviously going to get a super stud, probably, likely. I mean, you could. Maybe you got lucky, right? But there's some really interesting players there. There's a player, you know, there's a defenseman like Soderstrom we've talked a lot about. There's forwards like Matt Boldy that you know, are interesting. You know, of course, you know, Zegras is another name I think that, you know, makes sense there. Peyton Krebs, you know, obviously suffered an injury on the weekend, but is another name that, you know, I think people like in that spot. I'm not necessarily sure if the Canucks do, because I'm not sure he's the kind of player they're necessarily looking for. There's the Russian kid.
The Russian kid.
Do you remember his name?
I don't. I'm waiting for you.
I looked it up. It's Podkolzin.
I'm gonna write about this. I don't know if it's a whole column so much as it's amusing, but I got a great story from the Canucks archives. The Bo Horvat draft, so they make the deal to get the 9th pick, and they've got Valeri Nichushkin rated ahead of Bo Horvat. And one of the more prescient moments of the Gillis administration, he goes, you know, if we draft Nichushkin, he's going to probably come here for a year or two, and he's going to hold the KHL over his head, and he's going to go back, and it's going to turn into a shitstorm. We're taking Bo Horvat. Looks like a pretty good pick right now. Now, this kid, it's just every Russian player, he kind of carries that stigma now. Yeah. Are they going to hold the KHL? And the scouts I've talked to, the personnel guys I've talked to, said he's in that group around 10. He doesn't really stand out unless, you know, you've got a scout or some scouts who are crazy about him. But he kind of fits into that group. So do you take him, knowing you're going to have to probably wait at least 2 years? Well, if you take a junior kid, you could probably be waiting two years anyway. So that's one of, kind of one of the variables. You know, and the other thing is, and I think your point is well taken, everybody I've talked to says 3 through 12, they're almost interchangeable. So Dylan Cousins can go third overall. Yep. He can go 12th overall. Cole Caulfield, same thing. Zegras, the same thing. So the Canucks are in kind of, I think they're in a pretty good position where somebody might fall to them.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what their board looks like, other than Benning said he wants size. I look at their needs. They need a scoring winger, and that's Matthew Boldy, but I don't know.
We can come back to the size question in a bit. Yeah. I mean, you know, the names that we've seen floated out there, I think, are the ones that are the most likely given that. I mean, I think Turcotte, Byram go 3-4 in some one order or the other. But
interesting, I talked to two scouts who had Zegras rated ahead of Turcotte.
Wow.
Just love him.
Yeah.
Just love him. So, again, if he falls to where the Canucks are, and that's a plausible scenario, too.
Right.
Then you've got – I'm sorry, go
no,
ahead.
No.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, but then the two Western League kids, you've got 2 6-foot-4 skilled centermen.
Right.
As somebody said, you know, where do you get that? Where do you get that big centerman, that play-driving centerman? Well, you have to draft him, and you have to get him at the top of the draft. So lots of plausible scenarios there for the Canucks.
It's so funny to see how the sort of idea of size has evolved over the years. Because it used to be, well, just get Libor Polisek and you'll be great. You know, he's big. But it's the ability to play, really, that still now comes first, which is the right thing. And then if you can find a guy that's got Ed Willis' size and occupies space, and it's difficult to get into the front of the net and that sort of thing, that's what you're looking for. And so that's what makes those kids so interesting, because it's not just that they're big, it's that they can play. And it's that tantalizing thing. Yeah. You can see, speaking of big guys that can play, just as a side note, and I was thinking about this, making a splash. I was trying to think about why would Jim Benning all of a sudden start talking about Nikita Triamkin like he did last week? Like, where did this come from? And I was sitting there and thinking about it, and I got myself talking to our friend Ryan Beach, and Ryan beat me to it. He'd already thought about it, so he wrote about it, and I said, well, if you know, there's no point in doubling that up, but maybe Nikita Triamkin is a trade chip. Do you think he's tantalizing enough for other teams? I can't decide anymore. He's still a year away.
Well, a trade chip in terms of what, to sweeten a package, to get a third rounder
back? I don't know.
I can't see anything more than that for those lot of the reasons we just outlined. This is, you know, he kind of drifts in and out of my consciousness too. And the only reason I bring it up is when he left, so his agent, and I don't know if he's still his agent, but it was Mark Gandler, and I've got a history with him because Mark Gandler represented a lot of the first generation of Russian players to come over. And when you're working in Winnipeg, you got familiar with those guys a lot in the early 90s. So had a pretty developed a decent relationship with Gandler, and I talked to him when Triamkin announced he was going back, and I said, you know, is this irrevocable, is he there? And he said, you know, I can see a scenario where he comes back in a couple of years.
Right.
So just putting that out
it's Todd Diamond now that's his agent, but
okay,
you know, but Gandler, no,
sure,
was Zhamnov a Gandler guy?
Yes, well, that's a long story. We don't have enough time for
a whole other podcast.
He wasn't. He was a Ron Salser guy, but there was a lawsuit, and it was. I still maintain the great hockey book that's yet to be written is on those first generation of Russian players their agents and all the side deals that were made, because it was the Wild West there for a while. I just know some of the stories that took place in and around Winnipeg.
Jim Jameson's
story. And I can imagine.
Jim Jameson's story about, was it McElhargy and Troy Gamble, who went on some sort of goodwill tour over to Russia, sort of like 89. It was part of the kind of
trying to get Krutov and Larionov.
Yeah, it was part of all that. It was just absolutely fascinating. I think that actually would be part of the story. I mean, I'm sure Gamble would have lots to say about
that. Well, and I remember talking to the late, great Pat Quinn a couple of times about the negotiations.
Right.
And again, it was, you know, money here, money there, money here, money there to pry Larionov loose. And that's why Larionov left Vancouver.
Yeah.
He didn't want any more money going to the Russian Federation, which is, you know, again, one of the sort of, in a franchise where there are so many great what-ifs, that's another one. What if Igor stays here?
I mean,
does Pavel stay here? Because he's, you know, there's so many things. Yeah.
It's so interesting. I mean, it's funny you bring that up, because actually not long ago I was talking to another friend of ours, Wyatt Arndt, the Stanchion.
Yeah.
And he just had lunch with Tony Gallagher, and Tony somehow brought up you know, go back and find out about all that, because Tony was hot on the old arbitration case that the Canucks just got absolutely wiped all over the floor with and had to pay. It was like 1.9 to like Krutov's camp. Mm-hmm. They had to pay $1.9
million. That was money well spent.
Yeah. You know, they just fought and fought. It was him and, well, I'm sure Brian Burke would have some things to say about that now still, but we'll see. That's a tease, by the way. Great story coming up later this week from Ben Kuzma featuring Brian Burke talking about...
You know, they could do that draft day movie about the Brian Burke deal, but it was like real life because he actually pulled the crazy deal off.
Would he be upset if we called it, if we, you know, we suggested that the, you know, making a splash, the Brian Burke story, would that be...
Yeah, sure, why not?
That work?
As long as you spell his name right.
But it, you know, we come back to the idea of making a splash. I mean, Burke made the ultimate splash.
I don't think you could replicate those circumstances again. It really was a perfect storm. And the thing that blows my mind every time I think about that deal is what else was available. That's one of the worst first rounds.
Oh, it's terrible.
In the last 30 years and probably in the top 10 in draft history, because there was a lot of years in the 70s that were just awful too. But for them to get these, like, two franchise icons.
Amazing.
And the deal. And what they gave up? They gave up
Brian McCabe. Was a good defenseman.
And a couple of second rounders and something else. Yeah, that was it. But, you know, Chicago wanted Brian McCabe.
Yeah.
And it is. And, you know, and at the time it was like a bold, audacious move. But every year since, it just like the myth seems to have grown and grown and grown. And the more you think about it. You know, what he pulled off that day really was one of the more extraordinary moments in franchise history.
How much, in the end, how much pressure, and you've paid attention to this team for a long time, to come back to the original question, making a splash next week, how much pressure is there on Jim Benning to make a splash on that stage, you know, to sort of move, whether that means making a big trade, trading for a guy that we've been talking about, you know, trying to figure out how to find a way. You know, Jim has laid out his list of priorities for the summer. He wants to find a top four defenseman. He wants to find a top six winger, at least one of those guys you think is going to have to come via trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the trade happens on draft day. I mean, there's guys around. There's players around. There's, I think, a lot of movement happening this summer. You hear what's happening in Toronto, you know, the Marner situation, which is clearly gone sideways. Here, the Edler situation, which we can touch on in a moment. I mean, there's so much potential for movement, and yet we always talk about this and nothing ever seems to happen.
I would just answer that this way. There's just so much there.
Yeah.
And when you factor in all the variables, that's the ownership. It's where the Canucks are now. It's their need to make a bold move, to make a statement about the future of the franchise, and also where they are in their evolution. I mean, you could make the case easily that, you know, by adding that top six forward, and if they get, you know, an impact-type defenseman, I still think it's a reach for them to think they're going to get a top four guy. I wrote a bit about, like, what Jeff Skinner would have represented to them. So, you know, again, you add a 30-goal scorer to that lineup, and now all of a sudden you've got a line, like, with Horvat, Pearson, and 30-goal scorer guy. And then you've got Pettersson and Besser and whoever. And that kind of changes the whole look and dynamic of the team for me, too. And that also presupposes that Alex Edler comes back and, you know, continues to play at the level he has for the last two half seasons.
Yeah.
If they ever got to a point where they could get, like, 65 games out of B-plus to A-minus Alex Edler, they'd really have something. But that there's another variable. What's going on there? They don't seem to be in a hurry to sign him, and there's no pressure point yet. But,
you know, I look at now where we're at now, right? There's a week to go until the draft. There's going to be potentially some reshuffling of the deck chairs. If you're Edler, I mean, you set out your case. I want a no movement clause, right? Mm-hmm. I think that seems pretty clear. Otherwise, the deal would have been done by now. The Canucks want to bring him back, but they said, we're not going to do that. We can't screw ourselves over at the expansion draft.
Yeah.
So if you're Edler and you're his agent, you're sitting back. I mean, to me at this point, you go out and see what's on the market. The draft finishes and then all of a sudden you're into that pre-chat week where you're allowed to talk to players.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sit back and I go, well, why wouldn't he wait for a week now just to see? His agent will say, let's see what's out there. We don't have to do anything. And to me, that's the biggest factor. And so at what point there, you know, to me, that's the other thing is that if you sit back, you go, okay, we can wait till then. We still have another week to sell Alex on that. We can also go talk to guys like Jake Gardner. We know that they have an interest in Tyler Myers, you know, guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can come back and say, okay, Alex, here's what we want. But at the same time, like I said, there's that weird variable of wanting to make a splash at home. Yeah. To me, the sort of that question hangs out there. There's guys available. I think of a guy like Colin Miller, who is a right shot defenseman, mm-hmm. but you know, a guy that everybody's going to want. You know that he's a hot commodity. Everybody seems to be talking about him. He's a player that doesn't necessarily fit in Vegas anymore, and Vegas needs to make a move because they're hamstrung by the cap. So. Yeah. You know, again, like I said, those variables are there. But, you know, really, if you're Edler, do you see it any differently from what I've just laid out?
This is the vexing thing for Canucks fan is there was a presumption that this was going to be a relatively stress-free right. deal simply because he's always made the case and he's taken less over the years. And there is that Swedish nesting instinct, which invariably seems to come into play in these situations. So the fact that he hasn't yet and it's invited all these other questions into it. Yeah, I think that would be the prudent thing to do if I was in his camp. Yes, he wants to stay here, but I don't think it's at any cost. And he probably thinks, you know, I put in the service here. That's, you know, the least I can do is get that no movement clause. But backtracking a bit, so it's like, I'm sorry, is Colin Miller the big splash?
Well, I don't know if he's a big splash. He's a name. He does things they don't do, but yeah, no, you're right. Like, he's not.
Yeah, and that's what so many of them, and is Tyler Myers? For me, this is just my personal mm-hmm. opinion, I would rather have Alex Edler than Tyler Myers.
Oh, totally.
Myers. Even, you know, with the injuries and all the other things. So well,
one
so
plays
that,
better defense than the other.
So that's where we are with that. But again, like so many balls in the air, right?
Yeah.
So many things, and it'll be a fascinating week here, in the run up to the draft. And we haven't even started. We haven't even mentioned Jason Zucker's name too, which is another one. So
he's a guy. I mean, to me, I think I've said this. You know, I think we touched on this last week. But to me, he's a guy that fits well because he's a playmaker.
Yep.
He's a playmaking winger.
That's
you know, and they don't really have a guy like that.
Yep.
You can put him, say, with Bo and with Pearson, two guys who essentially are shooters.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that fits on that line. And that's as has been clear for, you know, essentially 2 months now since we had the last day mm-hmm. with the Canucks. You know, it's clear that Travis Green would like to get a Zach Hyman-type player to play with Besser and Pettersson. I don't know who that is, but he'd like that guy anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Zucker to me is a completely different style of player, but he's a down-market version of Jeff Skinner. Skinner's a 30-goal scorer. Zucker's a 20-25-goal scorer.
Yeah.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He upgrades their top six. He gives them a known quantity there. Now, all of a sudden, you're not sitting there hoping that Josh Levo can evolve into that guy. Or you're not hoping that, you know, Tanner
right.
Pearson's little 27-game run.
Yeah.
He can replicate that over 80 games. Now, you've got some flexibility there.
Right.
And the potential for another move down the road. So we can just get back to the draft for a minute. It was funny that Benning mentioned size because, to me, like the most intriguing character in and around where the Canucks are picking is Cole Caulfield.
Yeah, who's the complete opposite.
Everything he's not, but the people I talk to, and I think the decision is going to be made for him because I don't think he's going to be there
right.
when the Canucks pick at 10. But he's, for people who don't know him, he's 5'7.5", and he scored 72 goals and shattered all the records at the U18s. And I had one scout told him, you know, I said, well, could you compare him to Boldy? And he goes, yeah, Boldy, good player. He plays well with good players, but there's no wow factor there. There's a wow factor with Cole Caulfield.
And that's the kind of guy that goes top five, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, I mean, if he's sitting there when it's the Canucks' turn to pick, because it doesn't take a great deal of imagination to see other teams passing on him because they'll be scared of the size.
Right.
But if he's sitting there and if you got a chance to add, and by all accounts, he is the purest of pure goal scorers. If you got a chance to add 40 goals to your lineup, and I think Alex DeBrincat has kind of removed a lot of the stigma of those kind of players too.
Yeah.
So,
all right, what do you what's on the play? I mean, we got 10 days. This is Tuesday, so we got 10 days thereabouts until the draft. We know that Kuzma's got his five guys at number 10 series going next week. I've mentioned he's got this great story with Burke. There's stuff coming from me as well, looking at sort of the draft itself, some ideas that could happen around it, some trades that might be worth considering. What's coming from your end?
I'm focusing on that U.S. developmental team just because it's going to be such
a good story.
Yeah. It's there's a couple of angles. One is how it's going to impact this draft, but also it's the model they provide. And is this something that Canada needs to take a look at? And it's an interesting question. I think it's just more philosophical at this point. I think the practicality is it would never fly in Canada for a variety of reasons. But it's still a really interesting model and what they've done here. And I talked to the coach, John Warblowski, for about half an hour yesterday, and he's a live wire. And he attended a Vancouver Canucks camp in 2003. And I went, funny, I covered that camp. I don't remember you. And he said, oh, they didn't retire my number. He did get into a scrap with Ryan Kessler, though. And
he was there as a player.
He totally was. He totally was. He played in the East Coast League, and that was it. But interestingly enough, he was also on the very first U.S. national development team in 97 with, ta-da, Brett Henning, who is now the Canucks director of pro scouting. Right. So, a couple of interesting ways to entry and exit points to that story.
That actually reminds me. I wrote a bit about it last week, the question of why they aren't doing any prospect games next year.
Yeah.
I did a little poking around. It's actually an interesting case. They're trying something different, which, as I've said, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of sitting back and looking at, okay, what do we actually get out of playing these games? Now, of course, having the Young Stars Tournament, especially at the time they started it, was such a great sort of extra bonus for fans. It was a way to see essentially a Canucks-ish team that many fans couldn't get to see. Perhaps there's some acknowledgement a little bit that that era has passed. There was obviously the element of, well, how many guys would we actually be able to put in the lineup that we actually want to see in the lineup? And I think there was also a bit of a factor, a sort of an injuries factor. There was some concern that maybe they've been pushing these kids too hard the last few years with all the extra time.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that was like, okay, yeah. And I think they basically sat back, said, like, let's see how this goes. So there was I had pondered perhaps there's a financial factor. I mean, there's always a financial factor.
Of course there is. Yep.
But from a hockey playing standpoint, from the hockey ops side of things, it was very much about, let's try something different. And you know what? I don't think it gets said often enough because we do have a lot of critiques of the Canucks, how they've been doing things. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with trying to be different and trying something new. So kudos to them from that standpoint, from my perspective, saying, you know what? Maybe this isn't just because everyone else is doing it. And the Florida Panthers are the only other team that are doing it. And I asked a few questions around there, and I got similar answers, which is that, why are we actually doing this? So, maybe there's a shift away. I know that there's a lot of organizations, on the other hand, that are out there that do see value in it and, are not necessarily – they're skeptical of what the Canucks are pushing
for. Yeah, I guess my only question would be, it sounds to me like it starts here. This is a cost-saving measure. Now, how do we justify enrolling?
No, and that was my skepticism. That was where my skepticism came from.
And that's fine. Like, I've attended – I'm
– You were there last year,
half. And the one last year was fabulous. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
To see Pedersen and the late great Jonathan Dolan together.
Yes, yes.
But then to see Ulevi before he got hurt, and to see Mikey DiPietro and so many of these guys. Mm-hmm. It really was
I mean, for our clarity, we'll still have that access. We just necessarily get to see them in games. I think we're gonna see more of those kids in training camp games this year, or preseason games I should say. Anyway. That was just a little thing I throw in there. All right, folks, as ever, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher, we're on TuneIn. I found out that we're on Spotify.
Yay.
My buddy Mike said he enjoyed last week's podcast and heard it on Spotify, so that's exciting news. Anyway, whatever you listen to us, if you have a chance to rate and review us, please do so. It makes us more popular with everyone else. Ed, see you later.
Great. Yay, then we will talk next week in the run-up to the draft, I'm
sure. Lots of stuff. See you later, folks.